Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our pop-up nativity. It's one of those mornings where we have no idea, really, what's going to happen. And that's the exciting bit of it. So whatever happens, it's okay. And we're going to have fun. And I'm really grateful to Helen and to George, who have worked very hard, and Mary, particularly, making all the costumes to make this all happen. Just a couple of notices from me. Just to say a few things coming up. This afternoon we have our reflective Christmas service for those who perhaps find Christmas more difficult. It may well be that may well be more relevant for others who are not here, but particularly those who have lost loved ones over this last year. We want to just mark that, and a special service at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Do pass that on still to anyone who might find that helpful. We've got a 6 o'clock service tonight too. Next Sunday we have our Christingle service at 4 o'clock in the afternoon up at All Saints. So we really encourage, that's not an All Saints service, that's a St Andrew's and All Saints service. So we really encourage you to go up for that. And there's also an Early Birds Christingle here at 9 o'clock for Early Birds folk. And Peter has particularly asked me to just say, Peter and Emma and a few others are going to be hosting, hopefully, COVID permitting, who knows, a Christmas meal here on Christmas Day for anyone who's on their own at Christmas. And if anyone would like to just sign up to be part of that, there are several spaces, then please do. Emma's here. Give us a wave, Emma. Do see Emma afterwards or email Peter or the office, and we can book you in for that. But we'd really, or if you know there are people who might appreciate that, then do just invite them to come and let Peter know particularly. Over to Helen.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Yes, as Dave says, welcome everyone. I'm Helen and I'm the Children and Families Ministry Leader here. And my partner in crime this morning is George.
Hello.
And we're going to start the service by lighting the Advent candles. So hopefully we can make them work. So there's some words to say as we light each candle. So they're different from the usual ones. These are my child-friendly versions. So see why I nominated him. I couldn't get them to work the other day. Sorry, George. You wait with bated breath. Try this. Try these ones. Or at least the. Hooray. Okay, so let's say together, as we light this candle, we celebrate the hope we find in Jesus. As we light this candle, we celebrate the peace we find in Jesus. And as we light this candle, we celebrate the love we find in Jesus. Thank you, George. Brilliant. So, welcome to our pop-up nativity. It's called The Impossible Promise, A Christmas Story. And a great big thank you to all of you who've dressed up today as one of the characters in the Christmas story. Really appreciate it. And from time to time, we're going to ask you to come to the front to help a story, tell the story if you'd like to. You don't have to, but if you'd like to, that would be lovely. And George, the angel Gabriel here, is going to be leading the actors, so look out for signals from George. And if your character's got lines to say, they're going to be on the screen, so we'll say them together. Now, there's going to be a lot of booming in the story, and that's the sound everyone is going to make whenever God does something amazing. So when you see the boom sign, all you need to do is, George?
Boom. Can everyone give it a go, please?
Hang on a minute. We've got to wait till the scrum's on the screen, so, okay.
Boom. Amazing.
Pretty good. Do you not think we ought to just try it one more time? Okay. You'll be fed up with it by the end, okay?
Boom.
Fantastic. That was brilliant. So, before we begin our story, we're going to sing O Come All Ye Faithful. But when we get to the third verse, if there's any Marys that would like to come to the front, that's the time for them to come forward and come and stand here beside me. I'm not going to say stand up and sit down if you want to when you're singing, but if you'd like to stand up or you're able to stand up and want to stand up, then please do, and then just sit down when it's finished. So that's brilliant. Okay. Just like that, out of nowhere, there he was, an angel. And Mary's were terrified. Can you look scared? A bit scared. Can you see the angel here? Maybe it was the suddenness of his arrival. Maybe it was the shock of the surprise. Maybe it was because he was a bright, shiny, otherworldly creature sent down from the throne of God. Or maybe it had to do with what he said.
Hello, favourite one. God is with you.
Mary was simply a young woman from a little town called Nazareth in the region of Galilee. She'd never expected anything like this to happen. What did the angel mean? What was this all about? She was confused and troubled, to say the least, and the angel Gabriel understood that.
Don't be afraid. This is a good thing. God is pleased with you and wants to do something amazing for you. So here's what's going to happen. You'll give birth to a son called Jesus. He'll be great. In fact, he will be called the Son of God.
It was the promise of Eve of a child to crush the serpent's head, the promise to Abraham that through his family it would one day bless the world. The promise would finally come true, and it sounded amazing. But Mary had a practical question, very practical. By the customs of her day, she was legally promised to be married to a man named Joseph, but they hadn't had the wedding yet. So she asked, quite rightly, "I'm a virgin. How will I give birth to a son?" And quite rightly, Gabriel gave her an answer, a mysterious answer guaranteed to surprise her even further. Can you look a bit surprised now? Brilliant acting.
God's Holy Spirit will come upon you. His power will overshadow you. So your son will be holy too. the Son of God. It sounds incredible, I know, but your cousin Elizabeth is having a baby. She's 6 months pregnant, in fact, and as you know, she is well past childbearing age. For God can do anything, even something that everyone else thinks is impossible.
Then let him do this impossible thing for me. I will be his servant and do what he has asked. And with that, suddenly, as suddenly as he had come, the angel disappeared. Fantastic. So, Mary, do you want to sit down? Now, you can either sit back down there or you can sit on the bench here. Which would you like to do? Sit on the bench here for a minute. Okay. And do we have any Josephs? Do we have a Joseph? Been really helpful. Oh, fantastic. Come forward. Thank you. Oh, come on. Just like that, out of nowhere, it was the last thing Joseph... Oh, so it's the wrong... Don't need you. Wrong cue, sorry. I'm getting confused now. It was the last thing Joseph wanted to hear. Mary, the woman he had promised to marry, was expecting a baby, and there was no way the baby was his. What could he do? She had broken her promise, broken the legal engagement that her family had made with him, and worst of all, she had broken his heart. He could have embarrassed her and made a big deal out of what she had done, but Joseph was a good man and a kind man. He decided to end their engagement, but to do it quietly. But before he could put his plan into action, however, he had a visit from an angel as well. The angel came to him at night in a dream. Could you pretend to be asleep? No, you can just do that. Thank you.
Joseph, don't be afraid to marry Mary. She has not been unfaithful to you. The baby she's expecting is there by the power of God's Holy Spirit. She is going to give birth to a son, and God wants you to call him Jesus. For just as that name means, he will rescue his people from their sins.
When Joseph woke up, he did exactly what the angel told him, and he took Mary as his wife. I don't suppose you can play a few lines of Here Comes the Bride, could you? Perfect. You've got two Marys, you can have both of you. Thank you. Fantastic. But just like that, another surprise. This time, the Roman ruler Augustus wanted to find out how many people lived in his vast empire. So he ordered everyone under his control to return to their home to be counted. Joseph was from Bethlehem, the town where King David once lived. So he and Mary had to travel way down south to be counted in the census. It was 90 miles or so, and despite what you might have seen in your school nativity play, they probably had to walk. Not quite yet, boys. Do you want to just go for a little walk? Don't go right to the back, but just... No donkeys. Have we got a donkey? We'll have a donkey in a minute. Oh, donkey. You can come then. Just go for a little walk round there then. I didn't realise you were a donkey. That's very good. So, they probably didn't have a donkey, but today we have got a donkey. And it can't have been easy because it was about 90 miles. Right, don't go too far. Brilliant. Perfect. When they arrived, they needed a place to stay, but so did all of Joseph's other relatives. And by the time they got to Bethlehem, all the nice, comfy upstairs rooms where families usually kept their guests were full. So Mary and Joseph had to stay in a downstairs room where the animals were kept for the night. Are there any other animals? If there's any other animals, you can come up now. Nope, okay. And it was there, among the animals and the straw, that Mary gave birth to baby Jesus. Perfect. So she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger. We're going to sing now, Away in a Manger. Sorry, because I didn't include the innkeeper, but Theo is a very good innkeeper here, so you let them use your stable, haven't you, which is brilliant, so you can stay there too. That's wonderful. Sorry, Theo. Right, we're going to just say a prayer together now. I'll say the first line, and then if you all like to join in, that would be lovely. Lord, help us be like Mary. Lord, help us be like Mary, who answered when you asked. Help us learn to give and serve, no matter what the task. Lord, help us be like Joseph. Lord, help us be like Joseph, a man both kind and just. Help us listen when you speak and teach us how to trust. Brilliant. Okay, if you want to sit down, Theo, you can sit down here. Brilliant. Okay. So it's time now for the shepherds and the angels. So it would be really good if the shepherds could come up here, and if there's any angels, if they want to just sit on the carpet in front of the, or if you're big angels, you can stay there, but fantastic. We don't need you quite yet, so you can just perch at the front for a minute. Would you like to just stand by that black line there? That's lovely, just stand there. Any more? Oh, well done. There's a little shepherd coming too. So nearby, in the hills outside of Bethlehem, there were shepherds guarding their flocks of sheep. The night was still, the stars were shining, all was quiet apart from the odd, sleepy baa. And then... that angel appeared again. And the light that surrounded him surrounded the shepherds too. It turned the night bright as white, and it gave those shepherds an almighty fright. Can you do some trembling and shaking, shepherds? That's you, Skye.
Don't be afraid. The news I bring you is good, and it will fill everyone who hears it with joy. Today in Bethlehem, in David's city, your Saviour was born. That's right, the Messiah, the one God promised you, the one you've been waiting for year after year.
Here, and in this, the sign that points to him, so you will know for sure that you have found him. Look for a baby wrapped in clothes, fit for a newborn, lying in a manger.
And when the angel had said that, a sky full of angels appeared and joined him. Angels, that's your cue. A crowd, a multitude, a heavenly host. And like an otherworldly choir or a flash mob from heaven, they shouted out their praises to God.
Glory to God who reigns on high, and peace to those on earth who please him.
Brilliant. So, let's sing with them and maybe join in with some actions. Now, I can't see Annika here this morning. Is she here? She's got the actions. But if you'd like to do some actions for It Was on a Starry Night, then please do join in. Then away the angels went as suddenly as they had appeared. You don't have to go away. If you can find somewhere to sit at the back or sit on the bench where there's a gap. Or Cecily, you can sit at the front because you're only little. Brilliant. Oh, actually, no. You haven't gone to the... I've got that wrong. Sorry. Come back out, angels. Missed a bit out. The angels disappeared. Angels have disappeared. The shepherds are going on a journey. The shepherds, still shaking, said to one another, shepherds, well, we'll help you say it. God has told us this amazing thing. Let's go to Bethlehem and see. So the shepherds can go on a journey. If you want to, stay there, that's fine. go for a quick journey and then come back to Bethlehem. And then you've got the stable. Perfect. Hurrying, running, racing to the place the angel had revealed to them. And there was Mary, and there was Joseph, and there was a baby, just like the angel said, lying in a manger. So the shepherds told Mary and Joseph everything the angel had told them about the baby, how he was the Messiah, God's long-promised one, finally come to his people. And Mary kept those words like treasure in her heart, to wonder and to ponder over in the days and weeks and years to come. Then back to the hills the shepherds went, praising God for all that they had seen and heard, no longer quiet, no longer still, but shouting and singing like angels. We're just going to say a prayer together again. Thank you, Lord, for angel songs. Thank you, Lord, for angel songs that shout aloud the Saviour's birth. Show us how to live in ways that sing again of peace on earth. So we're going to stay sitting here, but you have to just ignore these folk for a little while. It's time for our star watchers now and our stars. Now, you might like to go to the back of church. Are you all right there? Have we got some star watchers and stars? Fantastic. Oh, well, Freddie, do you want to go with the other star? Right. In a faraway land, the star watchers were watching the stars, and a new star appeared in the sky, a star leading them to a newborn king. So off they went on a long journey, and eventually, so would you like to come this way now, on your long journey? Led by the stars, stars in the front would be good. Perfect. And eventually they reached the palace of Herod, king of the Jews. If you just come and stand on this bit in the middle and turn around and face everybody. Stars at the front. Brilliant. They eventually reached the palace of Herod, king of the Jews. There's another one. Thank you. And there's one more. Brilliant. That's the star watchers knocking on the door of the palace. And when they were admitted, and when they stood before King Herod, they gave him news that landed like an explosion on his ears. Star watchers, can you all say this together? Can you? It was all King Herod could do to keep from exploding with rage. He was the king of the Jews, and he had got rid of anyone who had tried to take his throne, including members of his own family. The Star Watchers, of course, had no way of knowing this. They were not Jews themselves. They were from another country far away, east of Jerusalem. For God wanted everyone, everywhere, to know about Jesus, to bless the whole world, just as he had always promised. King Herod immediately gathered every priest and scribe and expert that he could find, and then he asked them one question, and one question only.
Where do our holy books say that God's long-promised Messiah will be born?
In Bethlehem of Judea, they answered, for the prophet Micah says that even though it is just a little town, out of Bethlehem will come one who will be a ruler and a shepherd of his people.
Search for the child, and when you have found him, come back and tell me exactly where he is, because I want to worship him too.
That was a lie, and King Herod knew it. He only wanted to find the child so he could get rid of him too. The star watchers didn't know that, so off they went, following that star to Bethlehem. Would you like to follow the star? Just do a little loop round and then come back again? No. Shall we? Oh, perfect, that was... And when the star stopped and rested above a house, they knew they had found the place. And when the star watchers entered the house, they fell on their knees before Jesus and they worshipped him. And they gave him precious gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh, gifts fit for a king. Now, just excuse us for a minute, because we're just going to have a bit of a rearrange. Can we have those two chairs in the middle? Sorry, Connor. Right, guys, can you maybe to pop over or sit down? If you're sitting there, sit. That's it. I'm sorry, Isla. Right, brilliant. Lovely little star. Would you like to come and maybe stand on the side over there? You could either stand on the bench or just behind the bench. You all right, Freddie? Yeah? Good. Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Okay. So they gave them gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Do you want to put the gifts in front? They seem to lovely. That's good. And when their visit was finished, did they return to King Herod and tell him where the baby was? No, they did not. For in the night God spoke to them in a dream that told them of the king's wicked plan. And so in the morning, avoiding the palace, they would return home by another way. I've got another prayer to say together. Lord, help us be like the star watchers. Lord, help us be like the star watchers, following your lead, looking for your guidance in every word and deed. So we're going to sing again now, and at the end of the song, perhaps you'd all like to go back, but we can just enjoy having the tableau of everybody there for a few more minutes. So we're going to sing We Three Kings.
A bit of audience participation here. We're going to divide the church into three so that we can each sing one of the verses, 2, 3, and 4. So if we can take the far side, the right-hand side as you're sitting, down as far as the behind that New Testament banner as verse 2, which is Melchior. If we can take this side beyond the second banner, and I can't quite see it from here, but the one opposite the New Testament banner, down to the end of that for verse 3, Caspar, and everybody at the back, verse 4, Balthazar. And you'll find that Ellie and I will lead the groups as we get to the verses. So can you remember that? So we're going to have a little bit of audience participation here. Okay, We Three Kings.
Star of light, star of night, star with
you, everyone. Shall we just give our wonderful participants here a big round of applause for taking part? So welcome, everybody. That was lovely. And you can all go back and sit down back with your mums and dads or friends. That would be lovely. So, Freddie, let the take your crown. Might have to come and collect Freddie, I think. Oh, good boy. There we are. Well done, Archer. That's it. So we've had a lovely time celebrating the Christmas story, and we do it every year, and we do it for a reason. These events don't stand on their own. They're part of a much bigger set of events that link back to the beginning of everything and forward to forever. Now, you've got to be really sharp here, because when the boom comes up, I want you to, you know, if you can. They link back to the creation of the world, when God made men and women to love him and each other and the world he'd created. And they link back to the promise that God made to that nation, that one day he would send them a king like their best king, David, to set up God's own kingdom for everyone on earth. Jesus, the baby born to Mary, fulfilled all these promises, just as the angel said. Descended from David, he was God's own son, sent to crush the power of evil. But that was just the beginning of the world-changing event that was his birth, for it links forward to the grown-up Jesus who healed the sick and fed the hungry and welcomed the outcast to show us what life in God's kingdom was like. It links forward to his death, where his sacrifice defeated the power of evil by taking away the shame and guilt and punishment for every wrong thing that anyone would ever do. It links forward to his resurrection from the dead, where he paved the way for our resurrection. It links forward to his ascension, where he reigns at God's side. And it links forward to the coming of the Holy Spirit, who lives inside everyone who follows him and helps them to live like he did. And finally, it links even forward even further still, through 2,000 years of history, to you and to me, and then beyond to eternity, when God will make a new heaven and a new earth where he will be our king forever. So we're going to celebrate God's big story as we sing together from the squalor of a borrowed stable. sit down, and I'm going to invite George, who's going to bring us our Bible reading, and then a few thoughts.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for everyone taking part. That was great fun. And the booms were brilliant as well. Today, our reading is in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. And it's on page 694 in the Church Bible. Do just look up and give me a big smile when you've got that. The Bibles are behind your chairs if you do want to follow. Perfect. Are we all there, roughly? Amazing. Starting from chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land deep in darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fueled for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Do you remember a time of uncertainty, a situation where you may have felt helpless, like you were stranded on a desert island, or being stuck in a dark room with no light switch? England trying to win the Ashes this year. All these scenarios bring a frustration, despair, and an upset of being unable to change or fix the problem. This helplessness can cause worry, distress, and panic. In these times, we might look to temporary fixes, something or someone that might bring comfort. I don't know, maybe binge watching a season on Netflix, devouring a favourite chocolate bar. I know I'm guilty of that one. Sharing to a friend or family member, reading your favourite novel, going to the gym. Some of these are good things and might bring an end to our worry for a few hours or more. But over time, we let the despair of the problem creep back in. We are still stranded on a desert island with no way to get off. No amount of chocolate, conversation, television, exercise or reading can take the gloom out of the problem. But don't be afraid. Look down with me in Isaiah chapter 9 verses 1 and 2. It says, there'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a light. Fear not, where we might be surrounded by darkness and gloom, a light has been spotted. And what's more, this light has been given to us, verse 6 says. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This light is Jesus Christ. John 8:12 says this to us. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What a promise and hope we have that when we might be in a place of hopelessness, gloom and despair, we can be guided by the light of life, Jesus Christ. Once when I was a little boy, we visited my grandparents. I should probably say I was not so familiar with the house layout. After drinking my usual pint of water before bed, I don't normally do that, but I do sometimes. Anyway, I woke up at an unearthly hour. It was pitch black, and I was desperate for the loo. Not knowing where the light switch was, I continued to attempt to walk out the door. Unfortunately, I misjudged it, tripping over my clothes, going on to stub my toe by walking into the door. Finally, thinking I'd reached the bathroom, as I opened the door, I realised this was another bedroom. I certainly needed a light to guide me. In life, this guide is Jesus for all of us, when we are faced with trials, temptations and darkness. Even though we have this newfound light, we are not removed from the dark surroundings. There will continue to be periods of gloom, but because of the light of Jesus, we are guided through them. And ultimately, we can trust that having Jesus as the light of our lives will lead us to the correct destination. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 gives us a glimpse of the destination that awaits us. One that is much better than any bathroom. One that is a destination that is perfect, where there is endless peace, right living, and perfect justice. And ultimately, Jesus will reign on the throne. All darkness and gloom will be overturned by the light of Jesus Christ. Let me take you back to the beginning, to the island on which we find ourselves stranded on. Seemingly there is no hope. But just as the angel said to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid, I have good news." We too can delight in this good news that our lifeboat has arrived to rescue us, sent from God, and he is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, ready to guide us through the darkness of life and bring us to our heavenly destination. Thank you. Let me just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are our heavenly guide, that you guide us in the darkness of life. And so, Father, may we put our trust and hope in you today, in all of our worries and our panics. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, George. We're going to pray together now, and it's a participation prayer. So in the end pockets of the chairs, hopefully, on the windowsill for the front row here, there are some stars and there are some pencils. What I'd like you to do is just think about what you've heard this morning, and is there anything you want to say to God? Is there anything? It might be for you, it might be for someone you know, but you can write on there. If you can't write yet, you can ask a grown-up to write on there for you, or if you want to, you can draw your prayer on there. We're just going to have a couple of minutes doing that. So if anybody hasn't got a star or a pencil, there's a box of each at the back of church. So whether the welcomers can hand them out if there's anybody. If you put your hand up if you haven't got a star or a pencil. Might just be chairs at the back that haven't. So what would you like to say to God this morning in response to what you've heard, either through our nativity or through what George has just said, or the reading, or anything for yourself or for someone else? Okay, so I'd like you to take these stars home with you and hang them up somewhere just to remind you of your prayer. So I'm just going to say a prayer for our stars. So if you'd like to hold your star, and I'll just say a prayer. So thank you, Father God, for loving us so much that you sent your Son to save us. May Jesus be born again in our hearts this Christmas. Amen. Dave's just going to add a prayer.
I just wanted to update you on a little bit of news that we had yesterday too. which is about Doug Meadows, who was our centre manager here at St Andrews for the last 25 years, and he finished early on in the year. And we got news yesterday morning that finally Doug had lost his fight with cancer, and he passed away yesterday morning. So I'm going to pray for, particularly for his wife Mary and for Kelly. Doug was an amazing man and such a cheerful man who had his own massive struggles of illness over the years, but always had a smile on his face, always couldn't do enough to help people, and was just such a faithful, longest-serving staff member here, I think, that we've ever had. So I'm going to pray for that family now, and particularly pray for God's light for them. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for Doug. We thank you for his life. We thank you for the way that he served so faithfully in this place. We thank you for the way that he bravely battled with cancer for many years. And we pray for his family now. We pray for his wife Mary and for Kelly and for the rest of the family too, that they particularly would know your light and your peace and your comfort today and in the coming days. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
So let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, we're coming to the end of our pop-up nativity now, so I'd just like to say a few thank yous. A big thank you to everyone who's helped make this happen. So the musicians, the tech team, to Derek for climbing right up high to help put up the backdrop, and a really special thank you to Mary, who's worked so hard on making lots of new costumes and repairing lots of the old costumes too. So, and thank you all too so much for being with us today and for helping us to tell God's good news story. We're going to finish by singing with the angels. We're going to sing Joy to the World.
And we're just going to say a final blessing together when it goes up on the screen. Here we go. So may the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be ours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Thank you so much for coming today. There are refreshments in the hall, which may be our last refreshments, depending on what happens, and cakes. And cakes too. So do go and join in and say hello. If you want to take your cakes and your refreshments outside so that we're just in a safer environment, please do. Chris Dingle next Sunday, 4 o'clock, Messy Church, or at 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Carol services here, 5 and 7 on Christmas Eve, and our Christmas Day celebration. Look forward to you joining us, whichever of those is right for you.